Hi, I'm Sam Fesich from the EduMagic Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
So we are changing the narrative by doing what people think we shouldn't do. And that, I think, is pushing boundaries.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. This episode is sponsored by my favorite recording platform and the one I used for this interview, Riverside.fm. I love Riverside because it's as easy to use as any video conferencing platform such as Zoom, but I can record much higher quality audio and video on their platform. And what's amazing is that it doesn't matter where my guest is located. It still sounds like they're sitting with me in the same room. After recording, you can download separate audio and video tracks or use the Riverside platform to easily edit and even transcribe your content. Their embedded editor will save hours of editing time. You can create a ready-to-publish podcast or video with just a few clicks. And with all new iOS and Android apps, you can invite guests, record, and download high-quality audio and video easily anywhere. You've already got your incredible phone camera, so all you need is the Riverside mobile app. Today, Riverside is used by me and more than 70,000 content creators, ranging from individual creators to big name content creators. There's a reason why so many creators use Riverside. Check them out and all of their amazing features at riverside.fm or click the link in the show notes and create an account. Use the code LOL for Leader of Learning to get $10 off your subscription and get started today. Welcome back, Leader of Learning, to another episode where I have a return guest. Dr. Rick Jetter is an educator, of course, an author, a speaker, a publisher. This guy does it all. I'm happy to have him back on the show, believe it or not. I'll tell you when, Rick, it has been a long time, longer than I thought since you've been on the first time. But welcome back. Before we really get going here, if you could just remind everyone who you are, where you are, and what you do.
Oh, Dan, it's great to be back. You're an old friend, even though you're young. And Buffalo, New York, you know, it's 11 degrees here. I've got a blanket. You can't see it from my waist down. Assistant head of schools at an NJROTC high school and middle school in Buffalo, New York. Beautiful kids, inner city of Buffalo. I don't know. I can't even, who knows how many books we've done, right, Dan? It's like 11 books, contributor to two, more on the way, just a lot of fun. Rebecca Cota, my close friend and business partner for Pushing Boundaries. And we're just having a lot of fun and just, my God, the terrain is crazy, right?
It is.
And anything we can do to help people, that's what we do.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. And first of all, I mentioned that I was going to talk about the last time you were on here. It's been almost 3 years. March of 2019 was when you were on.
What did we talk
episode
about?
40. We talked, we talked at the time about you returning to the classroom and being the rookie veteran. We also talked a little bit about avoiding the school leadership dunk tank and all that. But it was before the 100 Stop series. And I guess it was before you got back into an admin role, another leadership role. So you've made some changes as well as I have more recently in career moves and things. But yeah, it's been a while. Let's talk a little bit, though. We'll just dive right in. Let's talk about the 100 Stop series. And actually, before we get there, you kind of just alluded to the fact that, you know, times are tough and a lot is happening and a lot has happened over the last almost two years, I guess. You know, the company is pushing boundaries, right? And I think that what I wanted to lead with here is the fact that when we're boots on the ground, in the trenches, in a pandemic, a lot of educators out there who may not be connected or may be burned out, they think this is not the time to push boundaries. I'd like to think that you would argue that. I definitely would because I think that it's a perfect time. As a matter of fact, some of the kids in my school district, no joke, today, even as we record this, got to actually be on a Zoom call with the education commissioner himself, Dr. Cardona. And that was one of the things that he talked about is that, yes, the pandemic has been tough and there have been a lot of challenges and lots of unfortunate things that have happened to education and educators and students. I don't want to forget about the students, but it's also a really good time to stop and think, you know, take a step back and innovate and push boundaries and change things up so that it doesn't have to keep being the way it's always been done. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Number one, I feel like a hypocrite, right? Because I met with you about going back to the classroom and now I'm back in administration. And maybe that's a good thing, right? This flip-flop. Right, teacher administrator. Who knows what's going to happen next? I don't even know what plan.
There are a lot of people who believe, and I have mixed feelings, I guess, about it. A lot of people believe that administrators should spend time in the classroom, whether it's on a regular basis or, like you said, kind of flip flopping. I know my wife works at a private school, and the administrators at her school teach classes regularly. You know, not all day every day, but you know, a couple classes here and there.
Yeah. And right now, administrators are subbing. I mean, hell, what state is it that I just saw an article that the governor is subbing?
Or driving school buses.
Yeah. I had a school bus driver come in to interview for a math position. Like, what planet are we on right now? It's a nightmare, but it's almost like that clay, right? You get that chunk of clay. They throw it down, right, in our classes. And what are you going to do with it, right? And we can mold this sucker however we want. And I think teachers can be the best lobbyists right now than ever before, right? Because it is an absolute nightmare. Because look, if you're a teacher in a classroom, you're looking at your attendance, you're looking out into the classroom, there's like two kids there out of 20. Where are these kids, right? Well, there's so many things that are going on in people's minds and society, and it's like we are tracking down people. They're in the barracks, you know? And what better time to push boundaries than to look at your program and reshift and rethink and revamp, right? The problem is that we need our states to align with these changes. And that's even hypocritical too, Dan, right? Because they're working from home. They're virtual. And yet they're not approving programs to be fluid. Right? Like, are you kidding me? And I'm not bashing the states. I'm just saying, like, you got to step up. People, you know, like... I mean, they are working virtually and they're not approving programming that is fluid for states. I mean, what is that? I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, no, it's been tough. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people are just like, what do we do? You know, throwing their arms up and saying, I'm doing the best I can. And I'm not here to judge. I'm not saying they're not. But I'm just wondering how good a job we've done looking forward and moving forward through this and not, I don't want to throw teachers under the bus. I'm not in the business of doing that, but I think I've said it before. I'll say again that I do think a lot of teachers were just expecting to go back to the way that it was before the pandemic. And clearly, students are kind of telling us that they're not actually ready, so to speak, to move back. That's how I think about it. In my experience as an administrator earlier in the year, and from what I hear from administrators, especially across the country, really, is that kids have changed. For better or for worse, the pandemic has changed them, and I don't know that we've adapted well enough. I'm just going to say it. I'm not sure that we have. I think we're missing some opportunities there.
Well, and like the other day I go downstairs, right, grab my coffee, and I notice on the coffee table there's this drawing from my daughter. Pencil and paper. She sketched out this beautiful, like, cityscape. And I'm like, Ellen, what the hell is this? This is incredible. She's like, yeah, I was just, you know, I mean, we're on our iPad or our Chromebook all day, and for art class, I was doing this. I just drew this free. I'm like, this is incredible, right? And how many more of those opportunities? Like, here, I was writing notes before we started. I'm using a pencil. We're on a screen right now. And like, the PD that I'm doing, it's all virtual. Because, number one, I can't get on a freaking plane if I tried, because they're canceled. The flights are canceled. And the districts are in cahoots, right? They don't even know if they should have a mask or not, or like statewide policies are different. Even in New York, there's all these lawsuits going on. So I'm just like, okay, what can we do differently? What can we stop doing? If we're gonna push boundaries, let's do it right now, because this is when the balloon's gonna bust. You know, it's just gonna bust.
Let me take that and run with it, because you just said, what do we stop doing? I think that was I don't know if you did that on purpose or not. That was a great segue. So here's what I want to ask you. All right, so we have the pushing boundaries, publishing organization here, and now we're almost two books into at least a three, if not more, book series on 100 things that people need to stop. I say people because it's different each book, right? So I was a contributing author, and thank you for the opportunity. I really, really enjoyed getting to write for the first book that's already been published last year in 2021, as well as an upcoming chapter in the next part of the series, which is 100 Things That School Leaders Need to Stop Doing. The first question I have for you is, When I think of pushing boundaries, right, innovating in education, I almost think about it in terms of, because I think, I'm not criticizing, I'm trying to get a thought out. Like, I almost think that, kind of like when you establish rules in your classroom as a teacher, right, classroom management, and you don't want to, like, post the negative, like, don't do this and don't say that and don't. So people are like, oh, make it positive, right? But we went for the jugular, and we're like, no, we're not going to necessarily have that positive, like, talk or title. We want to really go for it and tell people, no, if you want to innovate, this is what you need to stop doing, so you can get out of your comfort zone, right? And you can stop doing it the way we've always done it. I just put up air quotes. No one can see that on the podcast. I don't know why we do. This is going up on YouTube, though. I guess they can see it there.
Yeah. You know, dude, you just punched me right in the heart, because here's what happened, okay? We pitched this book, the first book, to a few publishers. And they said, we're not doing that. It's too negative. So here I am on the phone with Rebecca, right? And I said, Rebecca, what do we do with this? And she said, we're going to damn well publish this ourselves. And I'm like, okay. I don't know anything about actually going through the process of publishing a book. I'm not quite sure I have the time to go through to figure out how to publish a book. And she said, we're going to do it. I'll take care of it. We're going to do it, right? So all of a sudden, Pushing Boundaries becomes a publisher. And we actually are now even thinking about picture books. And we call it PBJ, PB Junior, right? Pushing Boundaries Junior, PBJ, peanut butter and jelly, right?
I like it. I get it. Yeah.
So we're having a lot of fun right now, and Rebecca is on fire. Like, I can't even keep up with her. She's sending me stuff. Like, we're going to come out with a book before the blue book for school leaders and before the parent book, which is called Educational Rehab. And this thing, and she's like pushing it out within a month. So she's sitting, she's at home and she's learning the skills and she's working her butt off and she's amazing. I absolutely adore her. So we are changing the narrative by doing what people think we shouldn't do. And that, I think, is pushing boundaries, right? It's like, okay, the people we think push boundaries, they don't want to say stop to their audience. And we're not saying stop, go to hell. We're saying stop, and here's what you should start doing, right? But the book is called Stop, and it turns a lot of people off. And that's what people said to us when they turned the book down. So we decided to take the driver's seat on our own.
I love it. And, you know, I often wrestle with the term that I see sometimes thrown out in education and when it comes to innovating in education, the term disruptor, because I think that gives off a bit of a negative connotation as well, that you need to like completely change the system. And I don't necessarily think that is warranted a lot of times. But I do think it's okay to tell people that, hey, you need to stop this, because I know through experience, through research, that teachers become resistant. They become comfortable when they start doing things the way they've always done them. And then they continue to do things the way they've always done them. And I to my listeners, I'm going to kind of break the third wall here, whatever it's called right now. I don't want people to think that I invited Dr. Rick on just to sell books here. That's not what we're trying to do. But, you know, I'll just mention, like you said before, it's not that we're just trying to get people to stop. We're trying to get them to rethink the way they're doing things, do things a little differently. In the first book, I wrote about, you know, stop worrying about what other people are going to think about you. And I talked a lot about getting connected, not even just on social media, but just getting connected and collaborating with other educators. Heck, the teacher in the classroom next door or down the hall, like in your building, in your district, having more of an abundance mentality. So it's not just, hey, you need to stop doing this. It's why don't you consider doing this instead? Instead of just living in isolation and being in like your own silo in your classroom. No, get out there. Learn from other people. Learn with other people. Education can't be, you know, one for all and all for one. It's got to be collaborative. You got to, you know, connect with people and learn from and with them. It just, so that, again, that was what I talked a lot about. And that's why I think what you said is really true, where it's not about just, hey, you got to stop this. No, think about how you could do it differently, a little better.
You know, I mean, what you just said, I mean, you're spot on. I mean, we're miles and miles away, and I think you're terrific, but there's a chapter. Let me just give the audience an example, right? And I wish I had this as a brand new teacher in 1997, okay? Back when pop rock was all totally different than it is now. There is a chapter. It's called Stop Speed Reading IEPs, right? But embedded within that chapter is a message of what to start doing, right? And how what you need to stop will actually help kids. You know what? Look it, I'm going to tell your audience right now, I used to speed read IEPs. I'd go right to the goals section. I'd look at what the kids needed. I did. I'm telling you, like I'm claiming my baggage. I did that. And if I read a book that said, stop speed reading IEPs, I'd be like, oh, wait a second. I just did that. Holy crap. Wait a minute. What are they saying about it? Oh, okay. That makes sense. I need to take this more seriously, right? It's almost this like subconscious book having an impact on your consciousness. And that's really what we wanted to do. And I mean, that's just one illustration. And again, your chapter was great. They're all great. And John Carippo's conclusion. And he even right? Where he works that into all of his workshops and the stuff that he does. It's like, what are we doing that hasn't changed? And he gives a lot of raw data. It's super cool. And then you got Doug Reeves, who's Dan, I didn't tell you this. So when I put a call out for authors, I take a total tangent right now. Doug Reeves sends me a personal message on Facebook, right? Rick, I'd love to write a chapter. I'm like, dude, you're one of my heroes. I would love for you to write the foreword. So then he reads this whole book. His foreword blew my mind. And this is a guy who's been in it forever. He's one of my heroes when I started. And this whole book just came together with people like you and people like Doug. And it's not a negative thing. It's really, it's so cool.
No, it's been a privilege and a really great project to be a part of. And, you know, I just think that when it comes to innovating in education, it has to be that reflective, right? That reflective to the point at which you stop, no pun intended, stop and think about, well, you know what? I intended that. I'm not going to lie. You stop and you think about what you're doing. You reflect on the goods, the bads, you know, the pros and the cons, and you throw out the stuff that's not working. I've gotten into arguments before, and I've thought a lot about the word risk and how educators, how teachers especially, look at the risk factor in what they need to be doing. And again, not to be too cliche or corny here, like in terms of educator growth within themselves, they have to be able to push through the boundary, right, so to speak, of their comfort zone and anything that might be holding them back. Again, I didn't bring Rick on here to sell books, but now I'm kind of fired up. And so I've already mentioned that the chapter that I contributed to the first book on what classroom teachers need to stop doing. And I'll just kind of give a sneak preview to my chapter in the second book, which is what school leaders need to stop doing. School leaders, this is my chapter, school leaders need to stop expecting respect just because of the title they have, of the role that they're in. And so again, like that's not, I'm not going for the jugular of leaders. I mean, I have worked with leaders who seemingly tried to get respect from people by, you know, kind of fear and intimidation tactics. So I did write the chapter with them in mind, but it's not about that, right? It's about taking a look at what you're doing. And I talked a lot about in that chapter some of the work or some of the topics and the ideas that I got out of the work of the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I read that book earlier this school year. It was recommended by the principal and the administrative team that I was on, and I learned so much from that, and I really use that as a lot of my inspiration and motivation for writing that chapter.
You know, it's amazing. I'm sitting here and listening to you, and I think back to a professor that I had with my doctor, Dr. Mary McVie, and she helped me to learn about positional theory. And there, I mean... When some, like, even look at my screen, it says Dr. J, right? That is automatic positional theory. What made me type in Dr. J instead of Rick? Right? I mean, these are things that we can become more conscious about. And maybe I should be told to stop putting Dr. J on my slide or on my, right? It's Rick. Hey, call me Rick. You know, and I never go out in public, you know, and my wife even says, you never introduce yourself as, you know, Dr. Richard Jetter or hey, I'm Rick. How you doing? Right. And I could stop doing that. And it would make things more collaborative just because I'm not using positional theory. And I'm not trying to get deep or philosophical, but I'm thinking about my professor from 2008, you know, and I'm like, wow. This is stuff that people, I mean, I could stop. Look at, hey, stop grabbing cookies from the cookie jar before dinner. I mean, we tell our kids that all the time. Stop walking down the middle of the street. You might get hit by a car. It's okay to tell people to stop doing something.
The one negative review that I still to this day have gotten on this podcast, on Apple Podcasts, had something to do with a little too much self-promotion. So again, I just want to emphasize, I did not bring Rick on here to promote his books or my writing, although I think I've shared more about my contributions to the books. But I will ask, I won't ask educators to go out and buy the books, but the links will be in the show notes. What I will ask is for educators to stop, at least stop and think about what you're doing that works, what you're not doing that doesn't work. Think about, stop seriously. And I know this sounds simple. I don't mean to laugh. I know this sounds simple. A lot of people have trouble with this. Maybe even more importantly than stopping and thinking about your practices, your teaching practices or your leadership practices, stop for a second and think about all of the things that are in your control, and then think about all of the many, many, many things, many more things that are out of your control. Because I really do think that at the end of the day, when it comes to stopping what you're doing as a teacher, stopping what you're doing as a leader, it probably starts there. It probably starts by recognizing what you can control and what you can't. And if there are things that are within your control, in your position and at your school, in your district, as an educator, then that's what you have to figure out for yourself.
Yeah, I like what you just said, because it's not voodoo, right? It's like, here I'm looking at a post-it note for what I have to do tomorrow. I've got four items, right? Well, why not take a post-it note, put it right next to it? What are four things I need to stop doing tomorrow? That's reflective. It's not a negative thing. It's reflective. You know, maybe I need to stop spending time watching too much TV, right? Or like link it to your family life. You can link it to anything. It doesn't have to be the classroom. Stop talking crap about people. That was my chapter in the first book. And that was a dunk tank related, right? I mean, that was when Rebecca and I wrote the dunk tank for Dave Burgess. And I mean, that book just, it took off because it was really, it was pithy, right? Stop talking. How many times per day, right? And I can blame myself. Do I talk crap about somebody or think negatively about someone else, right? And that weakens the whole organization. So I need to stop doing that. I need to stop speed reading IEPs. I need to stop this, stop that. It's a healthy thing, you know? So I really appreciate what you said.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't think it's the easiest thing for a lot of people to do. I naturally tend to be someone who is pretty reflective. You know, of late, recently, you know, I think one of the biggest things for me that I've had to stop doing is because I transitioned out of an administrative role that literally, I mean, had me running all over a very large building, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15,000 steps on my Fitbit every day. I've gotten a little comfortable again, I'm not going to lie, just kind of sitting behind my computer and being at my desk, because I'm in a position now where I can set my own schedule, but it's flexible to the point where if I need to hunker down and get some of that behind the scenes work done, I know I'm not going to be bothered by all of the thousands or what seemed like thousands of, you know, student discipline issues or things that made me run all over the building. And so I've had to really reflect on that and stop and think, how much time am I spending in my office versus getting out there into classrooms and, you know, supporting teachers and helping them push boundaries with their own instruction. And the days that I get to do that, I can definitely tell are really the most gratifying and rewarding for me. So, I just have to keep that in mind. I need to stop getting comfortable sitting in my chair behind my computer doing work in my office.
I mean, that in itself, Dan, is a great reflection. I just sent out a Twitter or a tweet. It said something to the effect of, I've kind of aborted Twitter chats. And not forever, but for the time being, I'm not doing any Twitter chats. because for me, fulfilled, I didn't feel it. Like, I'm finding the same topics popping up. I'm pretty bored. I'm missing life events, right? So I sent out a tweet about it, and people started talking about it. And I'm not saying that it's not valuable. I was actually addicted to Twitter chats at one point. And it was like an addiction, you know? It was about social media promotion and, right, sales and doing, right? It was all self-promotion. I felt kind of dirty. And I'm like, I don't do them anymore. I don't send out email blasts about pushing boundaries to bother people's email inbox. I don't, right? Rebecca and I kind of have this unwritten rule that we're going to let things happen organically. If we take a gig, it's because it was organic. If we talk with you, it's because, and Dan, I'm going to be honest, I booked us tonight because I looked back in my messages and I forgot that I canceled on you the last time because I was sick. And I'm like, oh my God, man, I can't leave this guy hanging. He's my buddy. So I rebooked, and here it is, you know, late at night, both of us staying up to talk about whomever, you know, will listen. And it's like, I'm going to kind of do whatever I want to do. And I'm done with the dog and pony show. I'm done with all this nonsense, you know? And you see some really great people who do that too, you know? And it feels good.
I was really glad. Yeah, I was glad to see when you sent that tweet out the other night. I don't think I responded to it. I don't think I became part of the thread there, but it did resonate with me because I've kind of felt the same way. I mean, I still consume a ton of educational content, and I still connect with educators via social media, especially Voxer. Twitter is definitely still like number one for me in terms of social media, educationally speaking. But the Twitter chats, I don't know. I can't say it as well as you said it the other night, but yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think they're as valuable as they once were. And I'm not sure why. I just don't get, like you, I don't get as much out of them. But that's not to say that Edu Twitter is not still thriving. It is in a lot of ways. If you can kind of maybe sometimes filter through some of the self-promotional stuff and the fluffy stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of value there. But the Twitter chats, yeah, I agree. It's not really for me anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, Dan, but I think we both have evolved quite a bit based on our experiences. Like, even, you know, I changed my bio for a lot of my social media. I don't list all the credentials and all the, I just wrote like something like, I think of big projects and work with people to make them come alive or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel healthier about being truthful instead of this mirage of like sales and doing things and marketing and all this kind of stuff. So, and I think that's why we're successful, is it's organic, right? Like Rebecca said, and like the things you alluded to. And it's a lot of fun that way.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. You're right. I think that's the bottom line. To that one person who wrote that one review about self-promotion on this podcast, I don't know. I don't know who they are, and I don't know. I don't think they're listening to the right podcast. But as much as I talked about, you know, the books and things tonight, that's not what I'm looking here to looking. That's not what I'm here looking to do. Like you said, you've changed your bio. I mean, I've changed the tagline subtly for this podcast. The mission of the podcast is to inspire growth and transformation in education and beyond. And that's what I seek to do. That's why I bring guys like you on and girls and, you know, but talk about some really great things. And that we've done here for just over a half an hour. And I want to wrap up and thank you for being a guest again on the show, for your work, for the publishing and allowing me to be part of that. I think it's great. And I do think, like we just said, it's just fun, you know, putting content out there that hopefully resonates with people, gets them to think about what they're doing, reflect, and just push through, right? Push boundaries and innovate in the field of education that we love so much. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. It's like when we die, it's like when people look back, did they do some cool things? Yeah, that's all, you know, right? They had some fun. They did some cool things. That's what it's all about. I appreciate it, Dan.
I appreciate it as well. Before we really end, though, I do just want to ask you, of course, to let everybody know if they want to reach out to you on social media or websites or where the books can be found. You know, how do they go doing that?
Yeah, so I've just been giving out my phone number. I'll take anybody's call about anything. 716-860-0380. Call me if you need anything. You can find me everywhere. Just look up Rick Jetter online, rickjetter.com.
Excellent.
Yeah, call me.
Awesome. Well, links to Dr. Jetter's website and links to where you can purchase books that he has authored and that he has published will be in the show notes for this episode. Rick, I really appreciate you circling back around. It's not that I forgot about you, and I definitely wasn't holding a grudge against you for canceling, but I appreciate you circling back around and rescheduling. This was great. I love the opportunity to catch up. We definitely don't talk enough, but thank you so much for your time and coming back on here as a guest.
Thanks, Doc. Likewise.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.